Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing, where a pastor, a parishioner, and a professor or president get together and theologize about the topics of the day. Today, it is just me, one of your co-hosts, Scott Hunt, with Barry York, one of the other co-hosts. We are still missing Kyle Borg. We wish him well, hope and trust that he is doing well and enjoying his new year. Barry, did you have a good New Year's holiday? I know before we started recording, there was a little bit of lamentation about a certain college football game. But other than that, did you have a pretty good New Year?
Yeah, after just turning it off about halftime of the Michigan game, after that, everything went well. And we did have a nice New Year's. Actually, New Year's is also my wife's birthday, and the children honored their mother, had a wonderful breakfast, brunch-type meal over at our house, and so it was good to have a lot of the kids and grandkids in the home. And wonderful day, sitting in front of the fireplace, enjoying one another's company. How about you?
I had some time in Florida. As a matter of fact, I was out on an airboat ride in some of the rivers and lakes of Florida when Kyle sent me a text just to, hey, how you doing? And I had to tell him I couldn't chat with him at the moment. I was looking for alligators. We did see a couple, but I had a great time in Florida. It was nice and warm. Got a little bit of a tan. I didn't have to wear my cardigan once while in the sunny state of Florida. But as you listeners, you cannot see, but Barry has
he's got it on. God,
I have my cardigan back on. Yeah. So trying to stay warm, but enjoyed the little break that I had from the busyness of life and got to spend some time with my parents. And so that was a good time. You know, which gets me to thinking, you know, as we come into a new year, there's a couple of ways we can address the new year. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. And so I could ask you, Barry, you know, what are your New Year's resolutions? Are you going to join the Hair Club for Men this year? sorry, that was really uncalled for.
Well, I was just about to say that you're in your cardigan, but I'm sitting here with my sock cap on because it's cold. So maybe you think there's something going on under this cap, but I can assure you it's just a head covering.
An appropriately worn head covering. That's right. A lot of people do resolutions. Other people do, you know, what they want to see in the next year, their plans for the next year. One of the things that has always struck me about the Bible, though, is, you know, particularly when, you know, Israel is getting ready to go into the Promised Land or any big event like that, what usually is done, or even, you know, at the announcement of Jesus's birth, there is a recital of history. You know, Jesus, we have his genealogy. There's a recital and a reminder to always remember where you have been as Christians. So I thought it would be beneficial for us, in a manner of speaking, to reminisce about 2021. Everybody thought 2020 was a terrible year, and it was looking up when we began 2021. I don't know if that's, I don't know that 2021 was much better than 2020, but certainly there's room for debate on that. But what we do have from Christianity Today, Barry, is the top 20 most popular Christian stories. This is put out, looks like, on December 21st, so toward the end of 2021, the top 20 popular Christian stories. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? I assume you are.
Yes, I saw that. pop up on the airwaves here not too long ago, and was just reflecting over some of those stories. We get World Magazine, and many times in their beginning of the year or end of the year issue, I can't remember exactly which one, they'll also go back and look at some of the big stories of the year. And it's not always just related to the evangelical church, like the Christianity Today list, but it is good to, as you said, to reflect back and just maybe glean some lessons, think about what the Lord's teaching us through the ups and downs of the church.
And what I find interesting is this is not a list of the 20 most important stories of 2021. This is the most popular story. So probably the ones that have been interacted with the most, searched the most, commented on, read the most. So this isn't necessarily about what's most important, what's least important, but just it kind of gives us the mind of the modern evangelical is what's important to them. We could start off with the number one most popular story, but I choose not to. I want to go with number two first. And Barry, you'll forgive me for doing this.
I already have. Number two was... You've already insulted me once, so I'll forgive you again.
I'm so sorry. Sometimes I just can't. My filter gets turned off, or I speak way quicker than I think. I really need to work on that in 2022. I'll make that one of my goals. But the number two most popular story is this: died Carmen, Christian showman who topped charts with Triumphant Faith. For those of you who may not know, Carmen was a Christian. I don't know if with a gospel singer, or what he certainly was a musician of sorts. He passed away in 2021. I don't want to make light of the passing of a saint. I'm not here to judge the credibility of his faith statement. But it just seems to me that being the number two most popular story, it just seems a bit out of place. Barry, what are your thoughts?
I think it speaks.
I mean, I know you're a big Carmen fan.
Yeah. I think the way they titled the piece was that he's a showman. I think that's a better description than perhaps musician. I just, you know, for memory's sake, I thought maybe our listeners might like to just get a little taste of Carmen just so they can understand why we might be laughing, because he was more popular back in my day, certainly, than yours. And maybe the fact that it's number two on the list speaks to the age of the readership of Christianity Today. I don't know. But here's a little piece for you, Scott.
Good point.
So I think we can play that much without violating copyright laws. Satan bite the dust. And his voice was
bite the dust. He's also
over-dramatic,
known for,
and that's just the way Carmen was.
Right. I also listed is Riot, one of his more popular songs, Righteous Invasion of Truth. Personally, I remember his song Champion, which was about Jesus's death and resurrection in a very dramatic setting, I suppose, a dramatic way. But that was the number two. So
yeah, our listeners could probably do no better than go watch a few Carmen music videos just for entertainment purposes.
That is their assignment for 2022. Please report back on the videos that you watch with a synopsis and your thoughts. And it might be fun, good fun for us, Barry, if we can just send a link or two of Carmen's videos to Kyle, just to make sure that he feels loved during this season. Well, on to the number one, and we're not going to go, I don't want to go news story by news story, but there are some that have a common thread about them. The most popular news story as listed in this article is about Ravi Zacharias and how he hid pictures of women and the abuse and some of the other allegations. And there's also an article on here about Mark Driscoll and the fact that he's still unrepentant. So one of the main things that it looks like people are still interested in is the abuse of church leadership in this past year and it coming out, in particular with Ravi Zacharias and Mark Driscoll. But, you know, they're not alone. But, you know, what do you think that tells us about where we are as a state of the church as we enter 2022?
I know Carl Truman speaks about the celebrity pastor, that we are living in an age where I think because of the influence of publications and social media, people are building platforms, and on those platforms are gaining a lot of support, financial support. They become very popular, and it tends to start eating away at souls. Men begin to believe that they're more powerful, greater than they truly are. They begin to really lose sight of the gospel, and then they begin to abuse their authority as a result. And certainly in the case of the two men that you've mentioned, in Ravi Zacharias and Mark Driscoll, that's pretty established fact. There's been, you know, all the allegations that came out after Zacharias' death of the sexual abuse, and that seems well documented. And Driscoll, of course, I'm sure many of our listeners, if they haven't listened to it, have heard of the podcast series also done by Christianity Today called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. I did listen to that, and it's a pretty fascinating study of just what led to his, you know, his meteoric rise to power and fame in the evangelical world, and then how really a lack of character and the mistreatment of people around him caused him to fall almost as rapidly, if not even more so. So certainly a lot of that's going on. Those are two huge figures, but there have been certainly other lesser figures who've done much of the same thing. It's really interesting on the list, actually the 20th spot on the list, the Christian peacemaker who left a trail of trauma, and that highlights the work of Judy Dabbler, who had a ministry going into places like Ravi Zacharias's ministry and Mars Hill to try to bring reconciliation and help. And this article chronicles how she was also abusing her authority in so doing. So I think there's a lot that's going on like this in the church. And to me, it really reminds me of the importance of some of the truths that we get out of the Reformation, Scott. A lot of times when we think about the Reformation, we think about the recovery of the doctrines of the church, the solas, and certainly that's important, or the worship. But one of the other things that was a major study and focus of the time of the Reformation was actually how the church is to be governed, and really led to the discovery, rediscovery, I would say, of the Presbyterian form of government with its checks and balances. And though we know that no singular church government ecclesiastical system can save a church, it certainly is important to practice the principles that we find in God's word of how the Lord wants his church governed. And I think when we do that, that there are checks and balances against some of these abuses, which in these cases went on for years and years. And there were people close to these men that knew what was going on and yet failed to confront them, in many ways, or if they did confront them, there wasn't the structure in place to allow them to continue on pursuing the discipline that needed to take place. And so it really does, I think, speak to the importance of how we govern the church and how we govern the Christian ministries.
Yeah. And I think it also speaks to the reality that, this kind of behavior is coming to light, and people are not, people are willing to speak about it more. And I mm-hmm. think, not that I stand for the Me Too movement from a couple of years ago, but there is something to be said of when it's happening to other people too, you realize that you're not the problem. Yes. And so I think as these stories start coming out, it's easily identifiable then in your situation. And so unfortunately, I think what you said is, this kind of thing has been going on or has happened for quite some time. Men have turned a blind eye, but I think people are starting to wake up to the reality that it's not right to have this kind of abuse, this kind of power. And so in a lot of respects, it's the pruning of the church, which is painful at times, often painful, but always necessary. So, the Lord will not be mocked. And so as sad as it is to see the downfall of men like this, men that were held in high esteem, high regard, we must hold Christ Jesus and his church in higher regard than these men.
Definitely.
So that, which leads to another, I guess, a subset. One of the things that kind of, I think, is a symptom of this kind of, these stories and this kind of thing happening is, you see the church splintering. There are several news stories about the church splintering, and they're not all related to abuse of authority or those kind of things. But there's a news story here about Platts McLean Bible Church hit with attempted takeover, lawsuit from opposition. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm getting at is it appears that there's a power struggle. That was story number 7. If I didn't mention that. There's also Bethlehem Baptist leaders clash over coddling and cancel culture. So it seems like there's a real power play that's also kind of taking shape in some of these stories. And I think what is interesting to note is most of these stories are not from a Presbyterian church denomination. And so they don't have the checks and balances, like you said. But what are your thoughts on that, the splintering of the evangelical church that we've seen in the past year?
Yeah. Well, actually, on the list is an editorial by the editor of Christianity Today, Timothy Dalrymple, where he has an article entitled "The Splintering of the Evangelical Soul." And in reading that, it's interesting. He does some analysis and has these illustrations and everything. It looks quite complicated the way that he's approaching it. But what I found the most helpful was just toward the end, more the summary reasons for why he thinks that we're seeing this crisis in the church. And of course, one of the reasons he says is because of what I just mentioned before is of the media. And the impact of the media on the church and on Christian ministries. And we've spoken about this before. I mean, in one sense, we're 3GT is using social media, using digital media in order to produce this podcast. And we've looked at the influence over the years of media on the church. And the one thing about, this informational and digital revolution that we're in is, you think about the time of the Reformation, one of the reasons of the truth spread back then was because of the invention of the printing press that allowed the reformers to have their sermons and writings printed and distributed, but you think still about how slow a process that was, especially setting up the print media of that day and then getting that distributed by hand, by horseback. There was it was just a delay of time. But today, somebody can go online and in a matter of seconds, say something that can be picked up and broadcast around the world, even if they don't have, even if they don't have a lot of money or even influence. There have been people who have gone viral for putting up a video, even if it's just a cute kitty video or a kid's video, they can go viral very quickly. So it just shows you the great power that digital media has to take information and spread it quickly and widely. And I believe that part of the problem is that the Christian faith is to be a faith that's that we're careful in how we speak, that we are to be slow to speak, slow to anger. But right now we're living in a time where the social media not only allows us to speak so quickly, but we also see a lot of polarization out there in the media. Like if you put something up online, you can just anticipate that someone with an equal and opposite viewpoint is going to come at you, and they're going to come at you hard. And there's a lot of yelling and screaming, in essence, that's going on across the internet. And as that impacts, that cultural phenomenon impacts the church, I think it has created camps and polarization within the church, within the evangelical church. And that's one of the things that Dalrymple is pointing out. And I think he's right about that. I think that it takes wisdom to handle powerful tools well. And I think what many are showing is that we lack a lot of wisdom in so doing. And so that's a big part of it. And again, I go back to the rise and fall of Mars Hill podcast. They had a whole episode devoted to Driscoll's use of the media. And, you know, they had professionals producing their materials. They found out ways to promote using optimization tactics on the internet. One of Driscoll's books, they ended up getting a contract with someone that would go and purchase so many books in so many bookstores throughout New York so that they could rise on the New York Times bestseller list. I mean, there's just all that kind of stuff going on. And it just shows you the corruption that can enter into the church through a lack of wisdom in using these types of tools. So that's one thing I would just point out that I think is certainly occurring in our modern age.
Yeah. And one thing I would add to that is I don't know, you speak about the use of social media. I think another way that the church and Christians need to be better is be better listeners. We can get people online who say unpopular things or, make these statements, and our natural reaction is to come at them with the full force of social media. But I think there's much wisdom in holding our tongue. A kind word turns away wrath. I think there needs to be we need to be better about not adding fuel to the fire of these raging controversies or these divisive things that are taking place. We need to be patient as the Lord has been patient with us. I mean, if the Lord showed as much patience toward us as we showed toward people online, we would all be damned. The Lord is very gracious. And we are not so much. And I think that we need to learn to be a little bit more patient when it comes to these things. And that's not to say that we need to turn a blind eye to falsehood or wickedness, but we need to. I think for the sake of the church, we need to be a little bit more careful on how we react.
Yes, one of the other points that pertains to what you're just saying there that he brings out in this article, Scott, is that he says that there's just a lack of accountability in so many of these ministries. And, you know, thankfully I can get away with a percentage of what these people are doing, and just in the sense that there's this built-in accountability structure around my ministry or around your ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that in our circles that people can't fall or fail. They certainly do, but they get caught. Right. You can't hide it forever, so to speak. And again, we're talking in some of these cases like decades of abuse. And so it's really important to have accountability. And as Christians, desire that. One of the things I love about our denomination is as you join the church, one of the vows that you take is that you will respect the authority and discipline of the church. And, you know, in preparing people for church membership, I always spend a lot of time there. Like I would always tell them, you need to realize, and do you want this, that if you start wandering into sin, that we're not just going to sit here and watch you do so and let you go, but that we're actually going to come and confront you about that and speak to you about that. I mean, we'll do it in love, and that's why we do it. It's because of love, but we're going to do it. And a lot of people in the church don't want that, and yet that's really one of the marks of the church is that sense of discipline and accountability. And so I think we need to keep working hard at fostering that in the life, whether it's us teaching our children wisely in this coming generation, because a lot of these people that are falling have, again, they've just gone out and self-promoted and gotten a big audience, a big platform, and it's just gone to their head without people there saying, hey, you're not as great as a lot of these people think you are.
Well, you know, not along the same lines, but speaking of division, one cannot think of 2020, in particular January of 2020, without considering one of the most divisive characters in American history, good or bad, whether you like him or not. Donald Trump was a pretty divisive character. There are very few lukewarm people when it comes to Donald Trump, and these news stories reflect that there were at least three explicit and maybe a fourth news story about Donald Trump. And the one that stands out to me, and Barry, you can speak about the rest, is we worship with the Magi, not MAGA. And so I don't want to spend too much time on this. But, you know, I do think, you know, people wrongly put, as some of these other articles speak about, wrongly put their trust and their faith in Donald Trump and his presidency, and that's caused some issues in the church. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't know that we've seen any in our denomination, but I think it certainly has put a wedge in some of the churches in our land.
Oh, definitely. Yes, he was a lightning rod figure and has certainly created a lot of the splintering and difficulties that we find in the church. I think the conundrum of Trump is, in some ways, he would represent certain positions that conservative Christians would like, perhaps, you know, for instance, his stance against abortion and appointing jurists to the Supreme Court that would uphold that. And so, you know, certain Christians would see that and they would be thankful for that, but then overlook all the myriad of other things that he did, his lack of character, the way he married and been unfaithful several times, and just all those, so many other things, the way that he, instead of bringing peace to our land and trying to speak presidentially, he just poured fuel on the fire so often with his own mm-hmm. rhetoric. And it just created this, I think he was a polarizing figure and enjoyed being so. And that certainly is hurt. And part of the problem was a lot of people in the church stood with Trump. I think one or two of those articles is about certain sections of the church prophesying that Trump was going to win the presidency. And of course, they have turned out to be false prophets, and we know what should be done with them. So it is
but
sad.
But Trump won the presidency. Just ask him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So.
Well, I do want to get on. We're almost out of time, Barry, but I think one of the most important news stories that were covered here was about the 50 countries where it's most dangerous to follow Jesus in 2021. That was the number four news story. And I do think that's encouraging because people are, it shows me that people are aware that there are Christians, dear brothers and sisters throughout this world who are paying a heavy price for carrying their cross, for bearing their cross daily, something that we don't really understand in the Western world. But, you know, the fact that this is on the minds and hearts of the people, I think is very telling. It's very encouraging. And I hope it's more than just mere curiosity, but it's real concern. And what can we learn from that? So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that issue.
Yeah, it's interesting that perhaps the hardest article to read is actually the one that encouraged me the most, just that this was on the list. And it does show that Christianity Today at least has some serious readers, as well as the ones that care about Carmen. But, you know, the article... The article does start off, every day, 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. Every day, 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. And every day, 12 Christians are unjustly arrested or imprisoned, and another 5 are abducted. Those are sobering statistics, and just a reminder that the world hates Christ. And as he said, because they hate me, they will also hate us as followers. And though we in the West still enjoy an immense amount of freedom and lack of persecution, that we are united with brothers and sisters in different parts of the world that are facing that. And, you know, being at RPTS, we have people from those other parts of the world there. And we hear sometimes those stories of what they or others have gone through. And it just makes you realize that, you know, this is for keeps, that we're all to be serving the Lord in such a way that we're willing to give up our very life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our love for Christ. And these statistics show that there are brothers and sisters that are actually doing that every day. And so it should put us in a mind to keep praying for the persecuted church. And I did appreciate this article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I found really neat about this article, a couple paragraphs down, he said, you might think the list is all about oppression, but it's really about resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, on the one hand, we mourn and we weep with those who are losing their life, losing their livelihood. But on the other hand, we should be encouraged by that Christ is with them. I'm reminded of the story in the Bible where Peter was, I think it's Peter. I'm right off the top of my head. When he suffered for the sake of Christ, they rejoiced. That they were found worthy. Correct me if I'm wrong, if it's not Peter. But so, you know, you have these men and women, and to be honest with you, the 12 Christians unjustly arrested, the 13 Christians killed, that's reported. I mean, who knows how many more there are in parts of the world that don't report these things or don't have a free media. So the numbers likely could be a lot higher, and praise the Lord that he uses the blood of the martyr as the seed of the church. Oftentimes when a church is persecuted, it grows. We saw that in the first century. And when a church is not persecuted, when it's fat and happy, it dies. And so I think that, like you said, I'm glad that there are serious readers, and there's a lot of encouraging things that we can get from that. Yes. Well, Barry, that's the that's the 20 articles that Christianity Today had listed as most popular. Is there any news story or article that you want to add to this list that you just think typifies 2021?
Well, we really can't leave this subject without talking about COVID, because if we want to talk about something that's impacted the church, certainly COVID has. And I do think they had one, at least one article about COVID and its impact on the church. And it's still something that we have to continue as the church, whether it's, you know, masking versus non-masking, or people staying at home and worshiping online, or any, you know, grieving over people who've lost their lives, whatever it may be that impacts us with respect to COVID, the church is going to have to continue to navigate this with wisdom. And one of the things I would just say is it continues to seem that the approach of so many is to trust science to save us, to trust the government to save us from this plague. And the Bible's pretty clear that there's only one who can save us from plagues, and it's our Lord Jesus, and that we need to be continuing to cry out to him to remove his hand of judgment against the nations of the earth and call people to faith in him in order to do so. It's really a time, even though it's made much of life in the church difficult to navigate COVID, it's really a time for us to be preaching the gospel in more earnestness and calling people to really look to the Lord to save them, rather than a medicine, rather than a vaccine, rather than the government. Doesn't mean that those things can't be vehicles by which God helps us and provides for us, but they are not ultimate. The Lord is ultimate.
Right. And I think that message needs to be spoken loud and clear. I actually thought you were going to mention that Michigan beat Ohio State for the first time in almost a generation.
Yes.
As being a top news story.
Yeah, since we started off with the dour news of what Georgia did to Michigan, at least our season was made by finally beating Ohio State.
Well, I think we'll end on that happy note that Michigan did defeat Ohio State. The world is all right with respect to NCAA football with that news. We will leave you with that. We thank you for joining us. We hope you were encouraged today. Let us know what you think, your thoughts. We love to get your feedback. We love your support. Love to hear from you, our listeners. We always look forward to opening that mailbox online and see what you have to say. You can always support us. We are listener supported. So if you feel led to do that, we would always encourage you to donate as you can. But until next time, we thank you for joining us on 3GT.